Blog Talk Radio.
And a good Sunday to each and every one of you. Happy Sunday. Happy Football Sunday. It is Week 9 edition of the Ear to the Ground Sports Podcast, November 8th, Week 9. So we're past the halfway point for most teams, game-wise.
Hump week.
What'd you say?
Hump week.
That's it, baby. Without further ado, you heard him. I'm Johnny Sunchips. Let's bring him in. Buddy Andre. Buddy, what's going on, man? Good stuff today. Sunshine. It's like summer day. Beautiful stuff. What's up?
Yeah, it's beautiful. 4.2 earthquake. Beautiful morning here in southeastern Mass. Pretty much the neighborhood my in-laws live in, a 4.2 earthquake on the New Bedford-Dartmouth line, the epicenter, and felt everywhere. Kind of took over social media, thankfully, this morning.
Yeah. So the epicenter was where? The Dartmouth where? New Bedford line?
Yeah, Bliss Corner, Dartmouth-New Bedford line, which is
that's
south.
Interesting. So,
South Dartmouth.
Right. Well, so you weren't far from that at all, which is why you felt it. I'm over here a little further from there. I didn't feel anything. I haven't heard anything. Usually my indicator is when you hear, and when you're in the city, I lived in L.A. for a while. When you're out there, you're in the city, all the car alarms go off because everything's shaking, and it shakes pretty well out there. That's an indicator for me. I haven't heard anything. A couple of people I talked to here, I didn't feel anything here, but as long as everyone's safe, that's the thing. But, hey, man, stuff going on all over the world, on top and under it, right?
Yep, absolutely. Jeez, we're
all right.
Going right to the core of the problem, literally.
No kidding. Yeah, no pun intended whatsoever. So that'll be a developing story because we're going to pinpoint right where that epicenter is. And if there's any kind of a fault line, you could have aftershocks, but hopefully not because it's really not conducive to that in the area. But you never know. Pardon me. Anyway, week 9, right? A couple of interesting things happening world league-wide. We'll get into the games as we do. Recap Thursday night, talk about some interesting matchups, including the Monday night matchup over here in these parts. And New England and the New York Jets. But if you want to join us, please call us at area code 5387-1702. I know somebody's on the line right now. Want to go to him, buddy?
I suppose.
All right, I'm clicking on. Here we go. All right. All right, I believe he's there. Mr. Crow, is this John Crow?
What is up, boys? Happy Football Sunday.
Happy Football Sunday.
Did you feel the ground moving below you this morning?
Yeah.
I did not.
By my in-laws was the epicenter, Bliss Corner and Dartmouth, New Bedford line.
That's crazy. I hope everyone's safe.
Absolutely. I didn't see J.C., I'm here in Pawtucket about a mile from McCoy Stadium. And not that it happened. I might have been in the shower when it happened, but I didn't feel anything, or certainly not enough to cause any sort of, like, rolling or shaking or up and down movement. So, but as long as everybody's safe, that's the main thing. Hey, I mean, what else can happen in 2020, right?
Check it off the bingo card, my friends.
That's it. What's going on, JC? How are you doing, man?
Not much. I mean, everyone's rolling along, you know. COVID hit, 10, 11 teams already this week, but the NFL continues to roll along, and I wanted to ponder a question to you guys.
Good.
And it's about probably the worst game of the card, the Patriots and the Jets Monday night.
Can I cut in for 1 second?
Absolutely.
Baker Mayfield placed on the COVID list.
Oh, my goodness.
Whoa.
Just now from Adam Schefter.
Ooh, make that 12 teams.
Yep.
That's crazy. And that has fantasy implications as well for today.
They're on a bye, which is good. So, JC,
Jets
Patriots, what's up?
That's right. They are on a bye. I don't have my schedule in front of me today. So, but, yeah, how Belichickian would it be to screw the Jets out of the number one pick by losing this week?
You know, that's a good point. I'm going to ask your buddy if I may chime in. And on the flip side of that, John, how jet-like would it be to win the game and screw themselves out of the number one pick? So you have both those entities working against each other. But let me ask you a question, JC, and buddy to you. And we'll talk about this game as we can move along in our slate. But I wish Darnold was playing because you'd have the better quarterback on the field on the side of the New York Jets, in my opinion. But this could be a closer game than people think. I mean, I don't think they're going to roll out of bed and ease their way to victory in this. Your thoughts on that? Because if they lose today, I mean, you're looking at the lowest rolling in Bill Belichick's tenure in a long time against a team he despises, organization on down.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, division game, always tight. You know, Patriots try to get some things right, you know, on a basic level against a team they should beat. And you know what? Maybe try to stem the tide. It's not in Belichick's nature to tank or anything, but – you know, I throw that out there because his venom for the Jets is like off the charts. But yeah, I mean, I think the Pats try to get back to some basic, try to get Newton right, try to justify starting him. And you know, if I'm Jarrett Stidham, what are you gonna do to get on the field? My goodness.
No question. And if you're Belichick, what are you doing staying with Cam Newton right now? I mean, you're at a point now where, I mean, they'll never say it. They're in the race, but they're not because they're just not talented enough. And if they get in, they're not going far. So you might want to start emptying the tank and seeing what you have. And Stidham's the guy right now because we know what Hoyer is. Put Stidham out there, and at least you finally know. I mean, is he that far in the doghouse, Buddy and JC, since the old trip to the wedding in Texas over the summer? If he is that a long time to hold a grudge? And if not, let it go, right?
Well, it's Bill. So, I mean, grudges are held forever, I can only imagine. But a point I made to you last night when we were grabbing food, the part that made that so bad was that Mrs. Stidham got on Instagram and said, we're going to Texas for a month. And she did it from the driver's side, the passenger side of a truck. So not only were they going for a month, they were driving all the way there. Not flying back and forth to weddings, you know, coming back, working with the team. And I think it just really looked bad that he took a whole month off.
Good point.
Yeah, especially when, you know, he had the opportunity at that point, you know, to grab everything. It's just a situation that has gone from bad to worse because you're now halfway through the 2020 season. And you still have no idea where your future is at quarterback for the New England Patriots. Not a good
thing. No question. No question, JC. And then I agree. Like I said, if you're going to hold a grudge, and whether you made a good point about his holding grudges forever, at some point you let it go. And at some point, as an organization, someone steps down and says, Bill, let it go. But you're right. No organizational direction, no identity whatsoever, and I think you are what you are, right? As Bill Parcells said of the team, in my opinion, the better quarterback that gives them the best chance to win right now is Brian Hoyer. It's plain and simple. So what are you playing for?
Yeah, Bill's not letting him anywhere near the field. With the two mental mistakes that he made, that's just not going to happen.
Right.
That's just not going to happen. I just wanted to – we know Robert's not running things day to day. That's now Jonathan's wheelhouse. At what point does he just say, you know what? What are we doing here? So I'd be curious to see at what point the ownership steps in.
Yeah, and Buddy and I talked about it, Chase. I don't know if you agree. They've made this really nice 20-year run by not really emptying the wallet. And we know how frugal they can be, and they've gotten away with it, you know, not paying big money. And they've been in the bottom five the past few years of having more money than a lot of the teams above them. So this is one year where Bobby's going to step up and spend money. I'm not sure he can do it. I'm not sure he wants to do it. But he has no choice now because a lot of holes to plug up for this team to have any success in the next few years, plain and simple.
Yeah, and let's be honest, they're going to have – not only the real money, because they always have the real money, the team's valued at $6 billion. And they have the cap space. So they're going to have to do it. And they're going to have to hit on the drafts. I mean, that's where you get your cheap dollars in order to go out and get those superstar players in free agency that allows you to do that, to get better a little bit quicker. So there's a lot of stuff going on there, and it's just no easy fix. You know, we've been lucky for 20 years. Everything has basically, you know, they've been very good. We thank them for that. I'm okay with a year or two, as long as it trends upward. That's all.
Good point. The arrow's got to move upward. Good stuff, JC.
Thank you. Thank you, boys. Good to see you. Don't forget, hey, Chips, I got your Chiefs at number 2 on my Go Local Pro rankings this week, by the way.
Nice. I'm going to check it out right after the show, baby. Appreciate it, JC. All right.
Pittsburgh still number 1. Have a good show, boys.
Have a good
one. You too, man.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Jay. Betty, we have another call online. We're going to go to that as well.
Yep,
it's
go to that.
617. Another call on the line. It's in the 617. Caller, identify yourself, please.
Hey, what's going on, Jack? How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. Got any good questions or tidbits for us this week?
Yeah. I want to talk about Jimmy Garoppolo and him potentially coming back to the Patriots.
All right. I'm on board. I think that's going to happen. But what's your opinion on it?
Well, I think maybe he might come back. I mean, he did almost win a Super Bowl with the 49ers last year, but they're not looking amazing this year. So, maybe Garoppolo wants to come back, but I think maybe he wants to stay. I mean, it's like he's only been injured a couple times, and yeah, it's only 1 year.
Well, I'll give you the one thing. There's still a relationship there between him and Belichick. There's no real answer at quarterback here. And the experiment out there in San Francisco between him and Kyle Shanahan is pretty much done. So they can get out of the deal losing no money, and he would be free to sign. And I think the two places that are going to want to sign Jimmy Garoppolo are the New England Patriots and the Chicago Bears. That's his hometown team, and they don't really have an answer at quarterback despite their record this year. So I have a feeling what's going to end up happening is he'll be leaving the 49ers, and it'll be either the Bears or the Patriots for Jimmy G next year. But Jimmy G speaks very highly of his team here. He still texts with Belichick all the time. I think you see him back here, and I think you see this team load up just to prove, because this was the original plan, and they want to prove that they were right with their original plan.
Well, do you think what the chances are that he comes back, and like if the Patriots actually want him?
I'm putting them right now, if I got betting odds, 70 to 75%. Does that seem good to you?
Yep. Thank you, buddy.
All right, you have a great day. Thanks, Jack.
All right, bye. Thank you.
Bye.
See you, Jack. All right, there we go. Excellent. Good. Good stuff here. He's got a couple callers in. Love talking to the people. You want to talk to us? Buddy and I, dial 516-387-1702. This is the Ear to the Ground Sports Sunday NFL Week 9 edition, November 8th. Beautiful day here in New England, albeit the earthquake. But a couple of topics on the table. But before we start, big names back in the spotlight this week. Dez Bryant activated now on the Baltimore roster. That's an interesting tangible, what he can bring to them. If he can be anything like his former self, what's that going to do for them? Antonio Brown tonight, going to be all eyes on Antonio Brown tonight as the Tampa Bay Buccaneers face the New Orleans Saints for the second time in a rematch of the Week 1 edition. Interesting there. I mean, Dez Bryant in Baltimore, I mean, it's a matter of a couple of teams competing against another, kind of jockey for position. Le'Veon Bell to Kansas City, Dez Bryant to Baltimore. They're all trying to, you know, those two teams in Pittsburgh, man, they look like they're going to be fighting it out till the end. So any edge they can get on the field, they're looking to take it, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, and we've seen over the course of the season, don't forget a few years ago, James Harrison got released like week 17 and came to New England and dumped the tank here. Those type moves are going to go on throughout the year. You know, a disenchanted veteran who gets cut, and next thing you know, he's got 4 years so he can choose where he gets to sign. And you hear those teams, Kansas City, Baltimore, Pittsburgh, all looking to sign players to get ahead in the arms race. Now, you said something interesting to me last night. I just want to touch upon this because I thought it was genuine and awesome. Do you think the Steelers are winning the AFC this year?
Are they winning it?
You think the Steelers ahead of the Chiefs.
Right now, my priorities have the Steelers ahead of the Chiefs right now.
Okay. I still think on a field, I still think it's Kansas City's game to win. I mean, we may be coming down to the point where we are going to see that matchup. But at this point in time, I think it's Kansas City's to win, especially with Le'Veon Bell in there, knowing the offense, being able to give them the verbiage. I think there's a lot of elements, but I don't really fear the Ravens because I haven't seen them get it done in the playoffs, and there seems to be a game plan out there to make things work. So right now, I think it's a two-team race between Pittsburgh and Kansas City. That's with Tennessee being my real dark horse because of their ability to play football. And the addition of Desmond King this week was a huge addition. I haven't heard a lot of people talk about it.
Yeah, that was pretty big. I agree with that. Agree. Yeah, but it'll be interesting. I think that's a match I really want to see. I think Baltimore's a little too one-dimensional offensively to compete now with Pittsburgh and Kansas City. But I mean, talk about the stories in the stories. I mean, that would be the matchup I think a lot of people want to see right now in the championship game. It was Kansas City, Pittsburgh. Right now, I just think my power rankings, right as I speak now, are just Pittsburgh. It's not a big edge, but. Hey, the Chiefs have weapons, and I think Bell's going to be huge. And if they can find a way to – I think Edwards-Helaire touch is going to go down a little bit, but he's a guy who can come in and create that spark like a LeSean McCoy, like that scat back, which is, I think, why he's implemented and real good for this offense. And you're going to see Le'Veon Bell get a lot of the touches, and that's just great. So it's good. The balance of power in the AFC is totally shifted, but those are two good teams. So it'll be pretty interesting, but let's move along, shall we? Here we go. All right. Green Bay over San Francisco, not a surprise. I think San Francisco may be – I can't remember a team as decimated with injuries as they are, still getting out there and fighting hard. You're right, there may be big changes, but they're missing a lot of pieces, man. They just can't compete with the Green Bay. If they do, they stand it for a short time. But Green Bay keeps out firing, man. Every game they've been in, they scored on their opening drive, and that can only bode well for success. You take the field, so your offense gets on the field, you're going to score. That's pretty good. So Green Bay over San Francisco. Any thoughts on that game?
Not really. I mean, with how decimated they are, it's really tough to get a gauge on either team. We saw Aaron Jones come back. Devontae Adams does his thing. Really not much to see here because really what was the competition as you look through that roster and you look at the left tackle was a turnstile basically for the 49ers. So I don't take much out of this game other than Green Bay gathers a victory and it goes the other way for San Francisco.
Right. Yeah, I that wasn't surprised. Pretty one-sided, but we all thought both of us picked Green Bay to win, and that's certainly what happened in a big way. And was a late charge by the Niners to make it even a little closer than the game actually was. Green Bay moves on, and they're rolling as well. So let's move on to the 1 p.m. games, and the Giants are at Washington. The Giants are 1-7, Washington 2-5. I just want to point out this one thing about New York football teams. You're going to love this. I know your affinity for New York teams or lack thereof. Listen to this. Since the year 2016, the New York Jets are 21-51 with a point differential of -480, including this year. The New York Football Giants are 24-48 with a -323 point differential since 2016. Oh, by the way, 11 of those wins came in the year 2016 when they went 11-5. There is just some bad, bad football being played on both ends of the NFC, New York, AFC, Jets. It's unbelievable. I mean, they're bringing futility to a new level in the NFL. I mean, this is like going on 4 or 5 years where they can't get their crap together to be even respectable. It's incredible.
Oh,
it is incredible.
They're competing for the basement. It's unbelievable. I don't hate all New York teams. I like the Islanders, so don't put me in that category. The Islanders are cool. The rest of them, go away.
Yeah, the Icelanders, I know. Well, okay. I spoke too soon, so I apologize. Anyway, the game at hand. Giants are 1-7 each of their last five games. They've been one possession games. Daniel Jones, man, he can look amazing at times, and a big mistake, stupid mistake, just rolling the dice and just shoot himself in the foot all the time. And that's what's surprising to me. So I really don't know about him. And if the inconsistency keeps on, I mean, and they're 1-7 and they have a shot at a quarterback, you got to go for it. Washington is 3-7 following the bye week since 2010. They've lost two straight. Number two ranked defense in Washington too. So there are some good things.
Yeah, and I don't know if this comparison's fair, but is Daniel Jones like the Jackie Bradley Jr. of football? Like, when it's going good, it looks really amazing. But, boy, you're always waiting for that shoe to drop or the strikeouts to jump ahead like the interceptions would.
Right.
Just like a big tease. That's what he is. He's a tease.
Right.
And yeah, I'm going to take my Washington football club because I love them. So
I know you do. And that's a solid defense too. And I like them too. I think they're pretty well coached and maybe with some stability, they have some pieces to really make it, make a run in that freaking pig division, if you will. I'll leave it at that. I like the Washington football club as well. Let's go right on to the end. Tennessee 5-2 now. Entertains the 5-3 Chicago Bears. The Bears defense has played well, but they've allowed 37 rushes of 10 or more yards. Derrick Henry has 59 of those since the start of last year. What's going to break? Derrick Henry, since 2018, 23 touchdowns with over 1,850 yards rushing. He could have a big day today, but Ryan Tannehill coming back down to earth a little bit, you think?
A little bit, yeah. I'd say it. Yeah, the shine might be off the ball. Yeah.
I like Tennessee today.
I like Tennessee too. I watch that Bears offense and I want to reach through the freaking TV and choke somebody out because it's so predictable and boring.
Yeah.
And just unimaginative, and you got all those guys, Lazor, DeFilippo, Nagy, on one sideline, and it's like, oh, who can outbore each other? Hey, let's run a run in the A-gap out of shotgun again with Montgomery and not block it up. It is so annoying to watch. It really is.
Yeah, and it stinks when you have a really – decent defense, and you're not wasting it, but you just can't find any balance on offense to offset anything. And it's all about the defense and how they play. Chicago's 5-3 now. I believe they were 5-1 at one point. So are we seeing the real Chicago Bears now? Because I have them losing today. And if they're 5-4, what are we seeing the real Bears team now? And a Bears team that maybe just mediocre.
Yeah, unfortunately, I think they're a 9-7 team when all this said and done. Just because of the offense. They didn't make a move for another running back. They're going to trot Cordero Patterson out there to run the football and just run with no lean or anything like that. And that's a turnover waiting to happen. Just I think they punted on this season pretty much. I really felt that way. I thought they were a team that needed to make a move for a running back and maybe some other pieces at the trade deadline,
right,
and they did no part of that. They could have used a guard. They really didn't do anything. So their GM, Ryan Pace, really has to look at himself in the mirror and wonder what this is all about.
Right. He's Buddy Andrade. I'm Johnny Sunchips. You want to talk with us on the Air to the Ground Sports NFL Week 9 Sunday edition of our podcast, please join us. Area code 516-387-1702. There are lines open for you. We'd love to talk to you. Any football questions, any football thoughts, you want to chat with us, let us know. Call us. Anyway, moving right along. Let's stay NFC North, the Detroit Lions at 3-4. Travel to Minnesota, taking the 2-5 Vikings. Matt Stafford is being tested for COVID today, but it looks as if from what we're hearing, that he's probably going to play. The Lions have made the playoffs in their history three times after starting 3-4. They're 1-done in each, obviously, so there is a little bit of hope there. And they are playing relatively better. Minnesota 2-5, schizo. And the Kirk Cousins is 4-0 versus the Lions in his career with the and with a plus 12 margin of victory point wise in each game. So Minnesota, Kirk Cousins, don't know what that team. They're kind of that team I'm not sure about either. On both sides of the ball, Detroit playing a little better. Stafford's in there. Detroit's doing pretty darn well, actually. They're playing pretty decent defense. And there's some good things going on with the Lions, buddy, even though they're 3-4, don't you think? And I don't know if Matt Patricia's safe, but they have improved overall in the year.
I think they're going to improve this year, but not enough for him to keep his job. I think him and Quinn will be gone. They'll figure out the situation from there. There's some good pieces there. They went out of the way. They traded for Everson Griffin, bringing an edge presence. I just don't see them getting over the hump of some of these better NFC teams, specifically that Western Division. I mean, how good those teams are going to be. I mean, you put them out in the NFC West, and I believe they're in last place. So they got to chase right. all those teams going forward. Tough game to pick. Yeah, I'm going to go with the Lions. I'm going to go with the Lions with Matt Stafford back bouncing off this week, maybe looking pretty fresh for not throwing. And I'll go with the Lions this week to go to 4-4.
Yeah, I'm taking the Vikings in a slight edge. This is a tough one to pick, too. I'm rooting for the Lions because I like how can you not like the Detroit Lions? It's just been a long and feudal history with them as well. But I'm going to take the Vikings to the slight edge only because they're home. And I can easily see both teams at 3-5 as opposed to Minnesota being 2-6. But who the hell knows? Shot in the dark. But we're different there, so that's good for the game. Let's move right along. The 3-5 Carolina Panthers travel to Arrowhead Stadium in Kansas City. Chiefs are 7-1. Tyreek Hill, in 7 of 8 games this season, it's 15 or more fantasy points, but without a 100-yard receiving game. So he's getting in the end zone, getting some of the catches, maybe breaking one. That's a good thing, good sign, because there's a lot of weapons, a lot of balls to be thrown around in Kansas City. Carolina, Teddy Bridgewater has 0 interceptions in odd-numbered weeks, 1 or more in each even-numbered week, for what it's worth. But Carolina may stay in this game a little bit. Kansas City should pull away. I think this won't be a relatively competitive game come the second half. So I like Kansas City as well.
Yeah, I like Kansas City pulling away. And I love the idea of having McCaffrey and Mahomes on the same field today. That's pretty cool.
That is good. It makes it a little more interesting to watch anyway. So here we go. All right. Moving right along. We've got a rookie from Oregon State starting for the Jacksonville Jaguars, who are 1-6, right? Take on
Jake
the Houston. Jake Luton starting at quarterback. So Jacksonville's 1-6, Houston's 1-6. All right. Jacksonville has 4 picks in the first 2 rounds of the 2021 draft. James Robinson, the lone bright spot in that offense, is top 10 in 4 of the last 6 in rushing yards. But that's interesting with them. Houston playing out the string as well. Deshaun Watson's remained consistent, 100-plus passer rating in 5 straight games, the longest in the team history. But that's a Houston team in some flux. But their defense, and they, you know, back a few years ago, they were known for their defense. But their defense is a shadow of their former self.
Yeah, I'm going with Jacksonville. I think this is going to be a Luton-filled meal today, and they're going to put one out there, and they're going to feed it to the Texans, and they're taking
it.
Yeah, this is Miami's draft pick, so it's not even like Houston's tanking for themselves. But
right.
Luton-filled, if you're a Luton-free diet, don't watch this game.
Wow, what time do you stand up for team start after the game?
I'll tell you after. I'm going to wear an eye patch and everything.
All right, here we go. Moving right along. Again, this is the E2G Sports podcast, Ear to the Ground Sports, as we like to call it, Sunday, week 9 edition. Lots of stuff. We're hitting the midway point on the back, approaching the backstretch of the NFL season. It's been fun. It's been anything but predictable, but they're trucking on in the NFL as we speak. You want to join us, area code 516-387-1702, 516-387-1702. That is Buddy Andrade on the other side of the computer. I am Johnny Sanchez. We're both trying to do the best we can to entertain us, and thank you for listening and your support. One of the better matchups of the week in upstate New York, where the 6-2 Bills entertain the Seattle Seahawks at 6-1. Zach Moss, who's looking more and more impressive to me, inside the 10 has 6 touches. So they're going to him in the hot zone. Devin Singletary is next with 3. So if they're in the hot zone and you have Zach Moss on your team, they're getting it. He's getting more than likely going to get at least a look, if not a carry. And we'll talk about Seattle, buddy. That poor secondary, right? Bills are at offense is ranked 7th in passing against a defense that's allowed over almost 1,900 receiving yards to opposing wide receivers, which is unheard of in the Super Bowl era by a team in the first 8 games of the year. But we got a little player back for Seattle, don't we, in the back?
Oh, we do? Oh, we do?
Do we?
Who do we have? Is it happen to be Jamal Adams, who they gave up 2 first-round picks for?
Ah, yes, that's him.
Yeah, that may hopefully make a difference in the secondary and against the run. This is going to be an interesting game.
Yep. If he can perform, because he can make an impact on any defense with that defense and they need it, he'll make an impact. If he can make a deep impact, this team is going to be scary because you're right. He's going to demand attention and not. He's going to change the whole complexity of that defense. Just one player. He has that ability, and he's going to do it, and he's going to be looked at to do it. I think he's going to be up for the challenge because he's a gamer, man. I like what he brings to the table. He's physical, and he gets at it, man. He changes everything. Lateral speed, corners. All right, he'll affect the run game. He's a player you want to watch, and that's when you watch the All-21s. Or the All-22, whatever it is. If you're at a game and you want to focus on a player and you're in the stands, like you and I, you look at him and you watch what he's doing and how he's moving. He's a pleasure to watch, and that's a big piece to have Seattle today. But you know what? I'm going with Buffalo. I don't know what it is. Maybe I'm just in my affinity, but I think Buffalo is going to be able to withstand something. And 6-2, I think that we're going to see how big that win was last week against. Can they take that and run with it? You know what I mean? But I'm taking Buffalo in a tough game, but maybe it's a gamble. I like the Bills today to win.
If I'm playing fantasy, it's all hands on deck today. Everybody out of this game, I think we're going to see some points. Despite the fact that Adams is back, it's going to be a little bit of an adjustment.
Yep.
Oh, man, to pick. This is tough because I think it can go either way.
It certainly can.
I'm going to go with Dangerous. Russell Wilson at the end pulling this one out and beating the Bills. I think the Bills Super Bowl was last week. I think we could see a letdown a little bit this week after what happened last week too. Finally getting over that Patriots hump.
Well, that would take a lot of the steam out of that win last week from that perspective. I think they're well coached enough where this, you know, it's okay. We're on to Seattle, that mentality. With the coaches they have in that staff. We'll see, but that's going to be intriguing to watch. If they win today, you're looking at a team that could win 11 games, 10 or 11 games, regarding just because they're talented, and if they get healthy, which I think they will, at key positions, they can do some good things. I'm not counting this Buffalo team out of the mix at all yet. They're on the out, they're on the fringe of, you know, competing, you know, you have Pittsburgh, Baltimore, Kansas City, are all in there. I'll go Pittsburgh, Kansas City in one class. Baltimore and Buffalo, a close second.
And
in that
Tennessee.
Second tier.
And Tennessee in that second tier.
Yeah, Tennessee, right. I will look Tennessee. You're right. Tennessee's there too. My apologies, but you know, there's some. You know, you're looking at 5 teams going to be competing for some good things coming on. I think Buffalo's in the mix, but that should be an interesting matchup today. One to look forward to. The 3-4 Broncos, winners of the. They started 0. 0-3. They winners of last three out of the four they've won. Go to Atlanta. Falcons at 2-6. Defense has played well as of late. Weeks 1 through 5, giving up 32-plus points per game. Last 2 weeks, only 21 points per game, but they are horrible in the red zone. TD percentage of just over 53%. That's the third time in the last 4 years of scoring touchdowns in the red zone less than a 55% clip. That may be, in a nutshell, what they have lacked in the past. Just that getting in the red zone and just not being able to put it in the end zone. With all the weapons they've had in the past few years, maybe just a postage stamp of their lack of success.
Yeah, no, it's just, you watch this team, and even last week, you thought they were driving down the field and injured Teddy Bridgewater on that Thursday night, was driving down and getting that two-point mm-hmm. conversion before the bleeding Ray Wilson interception.
Yep.
A lead's never safe. They got to get somebody in there who's going to totally change the mindset. I don't think a temporary coach is going to do that. I think you see a new Falcons team next year. And I think this is a week they lose late because of Denver's ability to bounce back in a game and the way Atlanta plays at the end of the game. I see a close game with the Broncos winning at the end.
Okay. I have Atlanta in this game. I think if they continue to lose, they're going to get higher draft picks, but I think they're going to I think they can win a few games here to kind of maybe not just kind of wouldn't be what they wanted draft-wise, but, you know, still be competitive. And like, it's going to be interesting where the quarterback situation is going to be next year and the head coach. So it's interesting there, but I take Atlanta today at home against the Broncos. 405. The Las Vegas Raiders are 4-3. Go to L.A. to take on the Chargers. 2-5 is a short little plane flight. Could drive if you wanted to. I was in L.A. I drove to Vegas all the time. Chargers have lost 8 straight in the division, and they've also lost 16-point leads in the last 4 games. They've won one of them. So, still that can't win. David Carr has 14 TDs, 2 interceptions this year, 262 yards per game. He's better than serviceable. Josh Jacobs has 5 rush touchdowns all on the road. This is a tough one for me. I'm going with the Chargers. I think they're going to put a full game together and hold on to a lead for once. And finally,
I'm going to go with
win a good one.
Okay. Sorry about that. I'm going to go with the Raiders.
Oh.
Just to go against you, give me a rooting interest. And they're still more in the playoff hunt than the Chargers are.
But that'll be interesting, yeah. But the Chargers team is on the mend. I mean, they're on the come, as you would say. Looking really good. And that kid Herbert, if it wasn't for Burrow in Cincinnati, he'd be a lock in the rookie of the year. What he's done, just basically having to be thrust in a game against Kansas City, that kid's matured really quickly. And I know defenses are going to adjust to him eventually, but he's looking really good right now. I mean, how can you not like Justin Herbert? So I like the Chargers. You like the Raiders, so we're going to move on. Interesting matchup if it was 10 or 12 years ago. 425 start. Pittsburgh-Dallas. Dallas at 2-6. Garrett Gilbert getting the nod at quarterback. He was selected 6th by the Rams in 2014. He's attempted only 6 passes in the league, and this is his 7th team. And their offense has not scored a touchdown since week 6.
That's for that.
Crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, no, that's Dak Prescott making more money every week as this goes
right on. Yeah.
Just around from a team to the lot late against the pre-defense, but.
Right. And then you have, you'll break it up a little bit, buddy, so I'm going to just continue. Pittsburgh, averaging 30 points a game. They're +5 in turnover ratio or 30 sacks. Mike Tomlin has a losing record against six teams in his career. One of them is against Dallas, which he is 1-2. That ain't going to happen. He's going to even his record at 5-2. This game could be I don't think Dallas is even going to make a chance to come back and make it interesting. This game is going to – but these receivers for Pittsburgh could have a field day against this game.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I'm taking Pittsburgh. You can hear me, right?
I got you, man. Yeah, we're good.
Okay.
I can. So, yeah, Dallas, they were my Super Bowl pick. Woo, woo, off the rails you go. Hey, here's a sneaky interesting game, too, and you'll agree with me with this when I was writing it down. The Dolphins, 4-3, go to Arizona at 5-2. Two teams that are really on the up. Talk about the arrow pointing upward. I mean, it may not point any further upward with these two teams. Arizona, since 2017, quarterbacks drafted first overall have won 7 of 8 versus the Miami Dolphins. The only loss was Jared Goff, and that was last week. Miami's defense is playing well, too. 17 or fewer points in 3 straight games. They're allowing 18.6 points per game, buddy, this year, which is the fewest in the NFL. If they finish top 5 in scoring defense, be the first time since 2006. That team, you talked about the offense doing well with Tua and what they're doing, but their defense now is starting to keep them in games. 4-3, I mean, this team keeps trending upward. They got a shot at winning this division. This is a really good game and one really entertaining game, again, against with two teams who are well-coached and two teams with quarterbacks that are going to be household names sooner than later. Murray already is, in my opinion, but give me your thoughts on this game because, man, this could be a fun game to watch.
Yeah, no, I think the Miami Dolphins are just stepping out in advancing way quicker than anybody thought they would. I think this is, they're a year ahead of plan, easily a year ahead of plan.
Right.
And I'm, how about this? They're going out there today and they're heavily competing. They're not winning, but they put on a show that tells the league, this is a team that won 2 weeks ago against Seattle at home, and now we're in a dogfight with them late in the fourth quarter. That tells you where we are in the league. So as much as I hate to say it and see it, the Dolphins are going to fight hard, but lose to the Cardinals, but get a lot of respect around the league.
I agree with you. I like Arizona as well, but you're right. Miami, usually you see teams who make that leap like they did, and granted they did it in the second half of the year, look really good doing it, and you knew they'd come in and be competitive. But to maybe not take – usually this is the year teams take a little step back and you kind of realize where they are. But if they can keep this going and stay competitive and maybe stay win 7-8 games this year, I mean, that's a monumental task for a young team like that. And they're not going to have that letdown here because this is the year they would. You get all those players buying in with the coaching staff year two when, you know, you're not surprising people taking you a little more serious than they were the year before and you're still in there competing, like you said. It sends a message. You're right. And they're doing it and – there's a believability in that locker room that must be really, really they come out of there fired up, seriously. And I agree. If they were home today, I'd like Miami, but I think they're going to fall short a little bit against Arizona in a tightly contested battle. I like Arizona as well. So, anyway, this is the Ear to the Ground Sports Podcast once again. Reach us at 516-387-1702. That's 516-387-1702. Buddy Andre, Johnny Sunchips, NFL Week 9 edition of the Ear to the Ground Sports Podcast. Moving right along, Sunday night, that's the game. You want to pick a night game on a 2, nationally anyway. The New Orleans Saints at 5-2 go to Tampa Bay at 6-2. A rematch of the game 1 to open the season, which New Orleans did win. Tom Brady has never been struck by a division opponent in his career. Alvin Kamara getting over 26% of the targets this year. This is an impressive stat, and I talk about it. I may regurgitate it a lot more, especially when we talk about New Orleans. 45 straight games, they have not allowed a rusher to eclipse the 100-yard mark. That's impressive. That's closing on 3 calendar seasons. I mean, pretty darn good in my opinion. And I think it's more impressive of a stat the more I think about it, buddy. because there's some good runners out there and good passes as well, because if you're passing the ball against New Orleans, it tells you how solid their defensive front is, and they're well coached up there and they know the game plan because they're not intimidated. To not allow a 100-yard rusher, even accidentally, you know what I mean, stumble across in 45 games, is that not impressive to you?
No, that's really impressive. It says a lot about the run defense for the New Orleans Saints and the guys up front getting it done, and guys like Cam Jordan just continuing to be dominant at what they do at their position. So, no, it is a really good stat, and I think he goes to 46 tonight or 47.
Yep. Who do you like in the game? You like you like New Orleans or Tampa?
I like Tampa at home, winning tonight.
I do too.
I just can't.
I do too.
There's too much schizophrenia with the New Orleans Saints, and if Michael Thomas is back tonight, maybe he gives them a jolt. But we got to see. I just think right now, Tampa Bay Buccaneers have passed the Saints in the division, and they need to this split. So they don't have a sweep hanging over and, you know, a tie record would go to New Orleans at the end of the year.
Right, right. I agree, too. But the thing about New Orleans, too, when we talked about teams that were, you know, the rumors swirling around the trade deadline with Thomas and maybe dissension, maybe now that that's settled down a little bit, they may play better. They're going to have to. Because this is, I'm not going to say a must-win, but it's very important for New Orleans tonight not lose this game. I mean, I know they have the tiebreaker, but if they, either way, they win it. So, I mean, who's the more desperate team here? Obviously, all eyes are going to be on Antonio Brown and Brady and what the dynamic is going to be with that and how much he's going to be a part of the game and, you know, spreading that ball around. There's only one football. There's a lot of talent there. I know Godwin's not going to be in with a broken finger still, but, you know, you got to figure that somewhere along the line he's going to be in the mix. So this is a great matchup, really, really good divisional matchup, good national matchup, and one we're going to probably talk about with our boy Jarvis Green later on this week because he's down there in the in the Louisiana area.
Yeah, I think he's going to the game. I think he's in Tampa today, so I think he may be going to the game.
I like that even better. I like that even better. Fifth game since 1950 where the top two all-time leaders in career passing yards faced each other. Home quarterback is 4-0 in those four previous games. This is the fifth time. I like the home quarterback as well. I like the Buccaneers to win tonight and maybe start to really show some – you know, show the rest of the league what they have because they're on a roll. They're rolling and they have all the pieces in place. It's what's it going to be like with them? Teams on a bye this week are the Philadelphia Eagles. The Rams are on a bye. Cleveland, as you said, a good thing. Baker Mayfield, as you said, went on the COVID list, right? You were saying Cincinnati also. Cincinnati, one of those teams. Again, you look at, on the come. I mean, there's some really, really good teams in Cincinnati, in Miami, and Arizona that are going to be really, really good in years to come. And good teams and good organizations, too, as well. Cincinnati's had some – they've had a pretty darn good history, losing a couple Super Bowls by a total of 7 points or, you know, 9 points, I think, to both Niner teams. Arizona, some history there as well. You know, in Miami, of course, their traditions. And it's good to see that balance in the NFL and good to see some young talent. But let's talk about the beloved Patriots who are 2-5 and they go to the 0-7 Jets. I'm bummed that Donald's not in. We're going to get Joe Flacco in New Jersey. Your thoughts on this game, because we heard a lot of the talk this week about Bill Belichick taking the podium, sort of making excuses, if you will, buddy. Quarterback situation, you and I can't believe. We talked about with JC earlier. I think Newton is what he is. What do you see from this team tonight? And Can we now say that this team is not a playoff contender? Even if they win today?
If they win tomorrow night, they're still not a playoff contender because they're not catching anybody in the wild card division, that group in the wild card. Their only chance is winning the division. They're not going to make it as a wild card. I see the Colts, Ravens, and Browns as the three wild cards at this point in time. And we know what the other three divisions look like. This could be a low moment, or this could be just a, well, at least we're still better than the Jets moment coming up. Because if you drop this game tomorrow night to Joe Flacco and the Jets and can't get any offense mustered against them, it's going to look really bad. And you got to look back a couple of weeks ago, they played the Bills to an 18-10 game where they had the lead and gave up no touchdowns at home, gave up 6 field goals. So
right.
Let's see if they how the Jets respond. Because the players aren't playing for the first pick overall. It's the organization that is. And probably not the head coach. So they're going to pull out all the stops. For the Patriots, I need to see more consistency out of the pass game. I think Jacoby Myers is the guy that you've got to really look to in that way. Damian Harris running the ball. But I also feel the Jets are going to be able to run the ball.
Right.
I think the Pats are winning this in a tight fourth quarter battle. Just because of a Flacco mistake or a sack or something along that line. But I don't think this
right.
is going to be a pretty game, and I wouldn't be surprised if they lost.
No, I wouldn't
no.
either. And, like, yeah, same here. You can say that it's not even on paper anymore because I've been a believer, and Patriots fans don't like me for it, but in my opinion, it's just a bad football team, talent-wise, up and down the roster, generally speaking, overall. I don't think they can right the ship. I don't see how they can right the ship. And even if they were, I mean, if you're looking for identity now, you're 7 games in at 2-5. You have none, and you may not have none for the rest of the year. You know, this game is a litmus test of sorts. If they win, you know, it doesn't really tell you much about you are as a Patriot fan. You tell you about your team because it's against a team that you should be, and a team that may be one of the worst assembled in a long time. So I'm not saying, I mean, franchises can be affected. There can be devastating losses in the history of a franchise in the direction of teams, especially in the game of football, where it can stay in this, it can be a call on your side as an organization. And I think this is what we're looking at with the Patriots today. You have to win this game just moving forward. It's not even about this year, just moving forward. You talk about a low point in 20 years. If they lose today to this team, it'll be the lowest point in this franchise in a long time. And sometimes that can affect teams for years to come and directions they're in because it's just that mentality as an organization that can peer on down. You're looking at Bill Belichick, and we know there's no love lost there with him and the Jets. How would that affect him today if he lost to this team? You just don't know. There are so many intangibles. So to me, this game is not about the Patriots this year and contending the division or whatever. It's about their future. And a future meaning the next 5 years, how it's going to affect them. These games have a way of creeping up and staying with teams. Not as big as a Super Bowl loss, but you know, organizations. These two organizations, what they've been through, a lot of similarities, a lot of people, intangibles, a lot of players and coaches going back and forth in the last 20, 25 years with these organizations. It's bigger than the game itself, in my opinion. It goes beyond that on the field. I like the Patriots. Like you said, I like them too in a close contest. But it wouldn't shock me if they lose as well. Who's the kid they got from Miami? And you were talking, is it Isaiah? Is it Boyd?
Isaiah Ford. And I don't think he's playing this week. I don't know that he's done all his COVID testing.
Right, I agree. But he's a guy I look for as maybe something to open up eventually. Because what you need in the future, because they have one receiving touchdown this season, that wide receiving core, which is in the NFL, you know. It's just the Pats have won 8 straight games versus the Jets. The average margin of victory has been 21-plus. That's not going to happen today. This is going to be a close game. And I'm interested in the rating. I mean, I'll watch it here. There'll be people watch it here. I'm interested to see the ratings nationally and locally as well. Because it's a Monday night game. I know there's nothing else, but what are the fans doing? What's the support going to be like for this team as they continue this trend downward, if you will? That's what I'm really interested to see, buddy, because you and I have been around. We talked with Ernie Adams or Joe Foran last night in our little business meeting, and we're all old school. We were here when they were bad before this generation of the past 20 years, and it all started with me, with Parcells, but it really escalated under Belichick. So they've had a majority of success for about 30 years now, but we were there before then when they weren't as good. So what's this fan base going to be like when they're caught in this rut, and how are they going to respond? Are they going to support the team, and what they're going to be like, and being uncharted territory as far as losing? That's one thing I want to see, and I want to see develop. So I'm going to watch the ratings closely with this as well, and see what their reaction is. Because if they lose tomorrow night, Talk Radio is going to be lighting it up, and they're going to be, you know, the venom in this area. It can spew at the drop of a hat. So it's an interesting game organization-wise for both these teams and, more importantly, the New England Patriots, in my opinion.
I agree with you. I agree with all that you said. We had this discussion last night and totally agreed. Ernie Adams even agreed. So, I mean, Joe Foran.
Yeah, that's tough.
Totally agreed. He's probably listening right now, like just shaking his head.
Yeah. You sons of guns. But, well, Tony, I know we have 2 minutes left. Any other thoughts? I need to but any other thoughts on Sunday? I mean, the game tonight is going to be decent. What's the tailgating going to be like in the Android residency? I do have to ask that.
Today is going to be, we're going to support our local favorite restaurant where we've been many times together, Top Shelf. We're going to take advantage of some of their football menu ideas. I may go over there, have a few beverages, get to go, walk home.
Mm-hmm.
A great restaurant and a great business and great people. So,
yeah.
Ford is getting the nod for my food.
No, I don't blame you. That's a great place. And I forget the owner's name, but he's
Bobby.
Last time we were there, the owner comes around and just, you know, touches every table to make sure things are going well. That's a pretty solid guy to, and I've been in the restaurant business a long time. I mean, just those little notes of attention. When you have the owner coming out to you and saying, hey, man, thanks for coming in, that's pretty special. I mean, that's what you say to yourself. You know what? Talk about an organization, starts at the top. That starts at the top well there. They do a great business. It's a great take, the Top Shelf Bar and Grill in New Bedford, man. If you ever get a chance to get over there, and the food is good, takeout, beverages are great, you know, service is great. We've been there many times. You get a chance to go to Top Shelf, man, check it out. It really is good, and I'm not in New Bedford today, but if I was there, I'd certainly go. But if you're not and you're close, make the trek, man. Do it. It doesn't have to be on Sunday, because they're open all week. It's some good eating there, good hospitality in that place.
Absolutely. Just to finish up, good the way I have it scheduled today on my TV, two TVs, the Seahawks and Bills on the big TV with volume. And then it's probably Titans, Bears on the other one, but I'm going to keep an eye on the Colts, Ravens, obviously, and Kansas City, Carolina for Hadley and her love of Patrick Mahomes. So those are the four games. The 4 o'clock game, I'm going to be the one not watching the major ones. I'm going to watch that Arizona-Miami game. I think that's the best 4 o'clock game. We got a good Sunday night game and a dud of a Monday night game. So enjoy your football Sunday. There's definitely some good action to watch, especially if you have Sunday ticket.
Very quickly. My bad. We didn't even talk about the Baltimore-Indy game. That's an interesting matchup.
Oh, all right. Yeah, I'm gonna go with Indy today in a surprise and a shocker.
Me too. Based on their defense, I think they're gonna dial it up. I like Indy today too, and no one's talking about them. But I think they're gonna make a little noise today. And up to 6-2, and I think Baltimore's still searching for an identity offensively. They may find it, but yeah, I definitely like Indy today. That's my bad. I apologize, but Indy Baltimore, that's a good matchup.
All right. Yeah. No. Great week 9. A lot of stuff coming with E2G. We'll share that with you. We're gonna have an NBA draft show next Tuesday night, the 17th. We got Ryan Beatty, our NBA guy, on. We'll be joining you soon. Just keep an eye out for the listings. If you're on the Facebook. Go to E2G Sports site and show fans. All the updates are in there. And the website is being developed now. So it's a matter of everything coming together and hiring and people coming out of the woodwork who want to be part of this and maybe some major announcements. Stay tuned. That's all I'll give you.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
So thank you for joining the E2G Sports podcast today. Buddy Andre, Johnny Sunchips, have a great Sunday. We'll see you next week, definitely for this show.